you didn't take your glass jar and you had only had a sixpence, you had to pay a shilling. I was no way my mum was going to give me a shilling. Not in your life. So I thought, at 8 years old, I started getting another job. So after the milk round, I jumped in the bread van. And I was going to cities then. I mean, I went to Sunderland. Can you believe that? From South Shields. You've got to hear me. No one left their town in England. You just, you lived, you were born, you lived and you died in your community. If you went to another town, like going to Fremantle, it was a huge event. I mean, you got dressed up. You got your Sunday clothes on. So I was in Sunderland, which was just a totally different world to me. And the bread man actually gave me 4 shillings. Double the pay of the milkman. I felt a bit ripped off, actually. 9-year-old, felt a bit ripped off. I was so excited, I told my mum, which I shouldn't have told my mum. Immediately, my board went up. My mum's rent was 10 shilling a week. 10 shilling a week. I was giving her 3 shillings and 6 a week. So that was pretty good money for my old dear. But they're different days. There was no way on this earth would I send an 8-year-old boy out at 4 o'clock in the morning to go and walk around. Not in your life. We live in a different world. A far different world. And what happens is that we can get stuck in our thinking, methodologies, even in church. And we're singing the same and doing the same old thinking something's going to change. The only thing that has to change is you and I to get about the Master's business. We're living in days that we must be about His business more than ever before in thinking. Because I'm going to tell you something, life is not just short. Life is extremely fast. Extremely fast. If I've got a tech problem, sometimes my Jax will be over. He'll say, give it to me, Granddad. He said, do you want to change the color of your fonts? I says, oh, I don't care. I'll just make them all of this. And he puts all this stuff on it. Looks awesome. One day, he changed the code of my phone. Say please. But it's just, they just are switched on. They're switched on. That's their thing. That's their thing. Was not my thing. Amen. But my thing should be his business. It hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today and forever. And the message hasn't changed. Never changed. In 2,000 years, it's never changed. You must be born again. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Who believes that this morning? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is near. It is close. For us who are born again, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, loving on Him, serving Him the best way we can, it's a wonderful day. For us who are not doing so well, get right. Amen. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 16 and 17. I'm reading from the ESV. For you did not choose me, but I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I'll say that again. You did not choose me. I chose you. You are here this morning because God ordained you to be here. It wasn't your idea. It wasn't your thinking. You didn't just get up and say, oh, I'll just go. No, God put it in you to do it. Amen. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide or remain. I've appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. There is an appointment that we should be keeping with the Lord our God, Jesus Christ, that He's appointed me to bear some fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. And if the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is within you, you have the capacity, the ability to bear fruit. Not your fruit. Not my fruit. the fruit of the Spirit. How do I bear the fruit of the Spirit? I yield to the Spirit of God. I yield to Him. If I had yielded this morning to the Holy Spirit, I would have been a better dad. But I didn't. And hear my heart here this morning. No one's exempt. A title doesn't make the man. Your status, you being born again, doesn't make you complete. You're still a work in progress. I'm still a work in progress. We're fallible. We make mistakes. But the wonder of it is when you get a conviction, repent. Turn away from it. Change. Allow His fruit to come forth in your life. Don't be so haughty and high-minded that you think you're exempt. No one's exempt. Everyone will have a struggle in life. Everyone will have a challenge in life. And it's when you face those challenges with a humility and a meekness, He can work in your life to bring forth fruit. Who wants to see fruit in their life? Go and bear fruit that you should abide or remain. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. These things I command you. Now this is not an option anymore. This is not something that He suggests. This is not something that He thinks is a good idea. I command you to love one another. Hallelujah. Footnote, hint. It is very hard to love another in your own strength. I need the fruit of the Spirit. The first fruit, love, joy, peace. It doesn't mean I cannot exemplify love. I can. I can be all pious and show love outwardly. But inwardly, am I loving? Inwardly, have I changed? Luke 9, 1 and 6, let's read that. Jesus sends out the 12. Their first taste of ministry. And He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority. He called, He gave. I want to say that again. He called, He gave. You've been called and He's given. Over all the demons to cure diseases, and He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of the God and to heal. And He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics, and whatever house you enter, stay there. We'll read Mark 6 in a minute. It says something different. Whatever house you enter, stay there. What used to happen in them days was men would come into a city, they would go into the center square, and the Jewish people were obligated to offer them a place to sleep. Amen. Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels that went into into that city, Lot saw them in the midst of the city and he offered them somewhere to live, somewhere to stay. It was quite normal, it was quite common to do that. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever you go, they do not receive you. Sorry, I'll say that again. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They were sent. Amen. Let's turn to the next one. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 10. It says, and on their return, the apostles told them all that they had done. The apostles were happy that demons were subject to them. The apostles were ecstatic that the power of God was flowing through them. They were in awe and in wonder that they were able and capable of ministering the things of God to people. Healings, deliverances, the wonders of God. And it says in the NAB that they give an account, and he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. They came back. In Mark chapter 6, it actually says they came back tired. They came back exhausted. In fact, it goes on in chapter 6 of Mark. It says they came back exhausted and they hadn't even eaten. They were so busy. laying hands on the sick, casting out demons. They were so busy they didn't have time to eat. And immediately Jesus had put them in a boat and sent them to the other side. Sometimes in life, ministry can be tiresome or wearisome. Anyone experience that? I'll put it another way. Ministry is not just this. Ministry is not just fivefold. The minute if you get into a relationship, or even a single person, to the Lord, but a marriage is a ministry. Me being the best husband and father is a ministry. My wife, when she gets up, we won't go there, shall we? When she gets up. She's so good. When she brings me a cup of coffee in bed. Do you hear that, boys? When she brings me a cup of coffee in bed, she's actually ministering to me. It is part of her ministry. When she cooks, when she cleans, when she does all the chores, that is a ministry. Amen? She is ministering as unto the Lord and ministering toward me. When the husband gets up and goes to work and earns a dollar for the house, he is ministering unto the Lord. When he comes home and puts on his dad hat and teaches his children the righteous way of living by example and by word, he is ministering as unto the Lord. You are a minister. You have a ministry. Ministry is not just preaching the word or laying hands or being an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, or evangelist. That is fivefold ministry that equips the saints for the ministry. But everything you do should be a ministry as unto the Lord. In fact, being a wife and a husband is a calling. All unique by itself. Being married is a ministry all by itself. It says this in Luke 10:1-12. And the Lord appointed 72. First time he sent them out was 12. Next time the 72. Some say 70. Some say 72. And others, and sent them ahead of him two by two. And they went into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. He forewarns them. This journey that I'm sending you on ain't going to be easy. You've got to stay a lamb in the midst of the wolves. You can't snap back like a wolf. You've got to be the lamb. Amen. I'm sending you as lambs in the midst of the wolves. Do not carry money bag, nor knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one on the road. In other words, don't get distracted on the journey of where God has designed you to be. God has an assignment for you. Do not get us distracted on the assignment. So often none of us are exempt. We've all been distracted on the assignment. Can I hear an amen? Whatever house you enter first, say peace to this house. And if a son of peace, a believer, is there, your peace will rest upon him. You and I carry something. Because you are born again and you are full of the Holy Ghost. When you get born again, you've received the Holy Spirit. Amen? All of the attributes of the Holy Spirit live within inside of you. One of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You can go into a situation or a house and you can release and deposit a peace in that house. If it's unworthy, that house, that peace can be brought back to you. But that you are a minister also, not just of casting out devils, not just prophecy, not just words of knowledge, not just being a husband and a wife. You are a minister of peace. We are ministers of peace. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Stop looking for a better place to be, where you think, oh, if I only do this, I can get into a better spot. If I only do this, I'm going to be treated better. If I only do this, they're going to do this for me better. No, no, he says, remain in the house that I've sent you in and be a minister of peace. Amen? Stop looking somewhere better. Be content in such things as you have. Is that what the Bible says? Be content in such things as you have. So often as people, just being people, so often we're not content in the things that we have. Sometimes we get misconstrued and we want bigger and we want better and we want more of. But really, that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is seek ye first the kingdom and be about the master's business. And all these other things that I need will be added unto you. If you need a 4x2, God will get you a 4x2. If you need an SUV, he will get you an SUV. It doesn't matter what you ask, he'll give you what you need. It doesn't say he's going to give you a new one. Hallelujah. He doesn't say that. I will supply all your needs according to your... Oh, Jesus, we need an SUV. Yeah. 1975 SUV. Barely holding together with sticky tape and glue. But it's roadworthy. It's past the pits. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what most Christians would say? Oh, no, God didn't send me this. God wouldn't do that to me. Oh, God wouldn't just give me that. I'm going to go one step further. If you are faithful in little, he'll give you the much. Amen? I remember, I think I was about 24, two kids, didn't have a car. So I borrowed my neighbor's car because it was a car for sale. I think it was in City Beach. An AP6 Valiant. Six-cylinder, slanted six, push-button automatic. $500. For us, that was a lot of money. $500. So I went there, had a look at the car, says, I can't afford $500. Would you take $300? John and Chrissy jump out the car. Kenny wasn't born then, was he? No. Jumps out the car of this thing. She sees Johnny with his peg leg and she gives it to me for nothing. I said, thank you, Jesus. Drove it home all excited, all happy. Because I'm my wife's passenger side back door to let the kids in. In them days, there was no seatbelts. Didn't have to worry about seatbelts. Anyway, to get them out, I went to the driver's side back door. I opened the door and it fell off in my hand. The door fell down. So one minute I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, because it's free. It should have been free. But it's actually fallen apart. So me being me, I went to my next door neighbor and says, you got a welder? He goes, yeah. I welded that door up. I spot welded it all the way around. It never opened ever again. Never. But I knew one thing, they wouldn't fall out. We drove that car for 4 years. 4 years. We took it down Albany. We took it, and it used to clog up with oil, so I used to have to take the spark plug out and clean it about every 200 miles. Get a bit of petrol, wash it out, put the oil aside again, and away we went. You've got to be thankful for whatever he gives you and use whatever he's given you to the best of your ability. Amen? Do you know we were given a car? In our lifetime, and this is, I'm not trying to brag here, I say, in our life, we've given at least 5 cars away. 5, minimum. And they're all good cars. The doors were not falling off. But we have given at least 5 cars away. Because if you can show your faithfulness to things in God, He will give you the more to give to others. Amen? Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Eat what is set before you. If you've got a problem about eating something set before you, just go to India. I guarantee you'll pray over your food. I guarantee you will pray over your food. Amen? He didn't say, if you're a vegan, don't have what's before you and just give me veggies. He said, whatever's placed in front of you, eat it. Heal the sick, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you, but whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go to the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings on our feet, I will wipe it off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of Sodom than for that town. He's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. It will be more bearable for them. Next one, please. Jesus gives every believer an assignment. Who believes that? Every one of us has an assignment from God, whether you're a husband, whether you're a wife. Even a child's got an assignment to be obedient to their parents. Every one of us has got a call and assignment to do. To complete an appointment here on earth that He requires us to fulfill. We are required to fulfill the assignment to the best of my ability. That I will have to give an account for at the end in that day that He will ask me, not how well I preached. Not how big my church is. Not how much money I have and how many houses I've got. He will say to me this, what have you done about the appointment that I gave you? What are you doing? What did you do about it? What did you do with that wife? What did you do with that husband? What did you do with your kids? What did you do with the ministry that I have given you? What have you done about it? Every one of us will have to give an account. No one's exempt. There is no free passes. We all have to stand before Him and we have to give an account. So much so shall the, may I go a little bit deeper. The account even says this, you shall give an account for every idle word that I speak. I'm not just talking about talk. I'm talking about idle, unemployed words that pull down and destroy another person. Amen. This assignment, this course starts at home. My assignment doesn't start here. My assignment doesn't start because you've been laid hands on and you might have had a heebie-jeebie or a fluff. Doesn't start there. Your ministry, your assignment starts in your house. Hallelujah. May I get that very clear? It starts in your home. In other words, my home should be a representation of really what Jesus and myself's relationship is like. It should be a representation of me loving my wife like Christ loves her. Christ loves the what? The church. And my wife flowing with me as a helpmeet to meet what God has placed upon our lives. Amen? Whether single, whether a husband, whether a wife, it displays the witness of His love, of His goodness, His grace to those who are around us. And the world needs to see that. The world does not just need to see people going to church and people having a happy clappy, a good time, tongue talking, demon delivering, healing people. They need to see where the rubber hits the road, people living it out. Can I have an amen? On the day when He calls me to Himself, I will have to give an account of the assignment He's entrusted me with. It will be, have to be done. It will have to be done what I've sent you to do. Did I bear fruit to glorify the Father? To reveal his Son? To demonstrate the life of his Spirit in my life? We can't afford to become impotent in this hour more than ever before. What's happening in the body, what's happening around the world, not just Australia, but around the world, there is something happening in the body of Christ where the enemy is starting to sing a lullaby and trying to put people to sleep and pulling them away from the truth of God to any a truth, whatever that truth they think it is, and trying to bring them into a place of stagnancy, in a place where they no longer have a fire in their belly for the purposes and things of their God. No longer having to have communion with him and intimacy with him. And above all things, hear my heart this morning, above everything else, you need to be in relationship with Jesus. You need to be in fellowship with Jesus. You need to have time with Jesus. I really believe this prayer time we're having at night is helping people to get intimate with Jesus afresh. That's why it's imperative to be a person of prayer. That's why it's imperative to be a person of the Word. That's why it's imperative not to be looking to people, but looking to him and him alone. Because the hour is drawing nigh. Who believes that? He requires fruitfulness in me. And it starts with me and my house. Hallelujah. We can have all the placards. You can have all the smoke machines. You can have all the twirly lights you want. You can do all that stuff and you can shout. You can run on the top of the chairs. You can walk on water. It won't impress God. What impresses him is this: fruitfulness in your home. And from your home, it should permeate out to your community and your sphere of influence. And you should be a minister of peace that can walk into a situation and release the peace of God into that place. Amen? And sometimes the peace of God comes with open rebuke. Next one, please. Mark 6, verse 30 to 31, it says the disciples came back. This is the time when they were sent out. The disciples came back and they were tired. They were tired. They were worn out ministering to those they were sent to, that they didn't even have time to eat. And may I say this, mums and dads, you can be very busy. And we're ministering. We can be very busy. But don't get too busy to stop and have time with Jesus. Just stop and have time with Jesus. Jesus pulls them aside to rest and be with him. He tells them to go on the other side so they catch a boat. You know, sometimes in life, you've got to schedule a stop. Sometimes in life, you just got to say, I'm going to have a break. I'm going to have a half an hour to myself. I used to do this when I used to come home from work at Aussie Post. Three kids that wanted my time and attention. My wife wanted my time and attention. I had the hat on of a boss at Australia Post. And I used to say to Matilda, when I first started there, just give me a half an hour to swap hats. Just give me a half an hour to swap hats so I can take this hat off, because sometimes this hat, the workshop hat, can be very direct, can be very blunt. Speaking language they shouldn't speak at home, if you know what I mean. Put on dad hat, husband hat. Matilda used to say, give your dad a half an hour. They learned that eventually. Give your dad a half an hour. 30 minutes. I didn't take 31. If I said a half an hour, it was a half an hour. Took my 30 minutes. Kids would run in, jumping over you, crawling all over you, kissing you, loving on you, wanting hugs, and all of them wanted to tell them their story at the same time. And I'd let them. I'd actually let them. And I'd nod a lot. And I'd say yes a lot. Half the time I didn't even know what they were talking about. But it didn't bother them because Dad was listening. Sometimes you've got to get yourself aside to make sure your mindset is right. Amen? The disciples, this crowd heard that they were going to the other side. This crowd met them at the other side before they got there. They were waiting on the boat. I'd love to have a church like that. That they were actually waiting. They were waiting for the preacher to get there, and he hadn't even got there. Can you imagine one day if I come to church and the whole church is waiting at the door and I'm just walking in? That's a church, man. That's church. They were waiting on the other side. He gets there. The disciples said to him, they're hungry, give them something to eat. They're tired. They're worn out. Hello, mums. I'm relating to you now. You're tired. You're worn out. And this kid, this teenager says, his husband goes, anything to eat? They've already had tea. Can you whip something up? Is there anything to eat? Ladies, you can nod. But it's the truth. You can be tired. You can be worn out. And they're still waiting for something. Jesus said something in the midst of their tiredness, in the midst of their despair, in the midst of them wanting to rest. Jesus said something profound to them. You give them something to eat. You got to make sure there's still enough in your tank to give them something to eat. And if you don't set yourself apart to have some time with Him, you can run on empty for a long time on the fumes of your yesterday. You give them something to eat. Straight away, I can just allow me to imagine this. The apostles, especially Peter, would have arced. Peter would have probably arced on this. Oh, do you want us to go into town and get them something to eat? Should we go and buy them something? There was 5,000 men, besides women and children, up to probably 15,000 people. And you're going to go shopping for 15,000 people? Could you imagine dragging that back right to your picnic? They're already tired. So I think there's a bit of an attitude happening here. Jesus said something to them and said this: what do you have? Now, they were comfortable in ministering in the Spirit, casting out demons. They were comfortable in laying hands on the sick. But now it comes to the physical. You see, because ministry isn't just speaking it out. Ministry isn't just laying hands on the sick. Ministry is just not casting out devils. Ministry is supplying a need. Amen? Have you got anything to give them? What is in your hands? God will never ask you to do something if you haven't got the power to do it. He will make sure it's in your hands to fulfill what He's asked you to do. They said, we've just got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all we've got. He says, give it to me. Can you trust Him with the little that you still got? Because sometimes, tiredness wants me to blame others for the situation I'm in. Send them away. Get rid of them. Jesus, one word and you can just dissolve that whole 5,000. They're gone. 5,000 problems missing. Yet Jesus uses the 5,000 to change them for the next thing He wants to do in their life. You feed them. You give me what you've got, and I can help you feed them. Jesus looks up footnote hint. The little you have, surrender it to him by looking up, saying, here, Jesus, this is all I've got. He will make sure it is enough. He allows them to break bread and they give out the fishes. They fed the 5,000, thinking that their job was over. It was not over. He then made sure there was 12 baskets. And he made sure them baskets were full. For what? Why would Jesus give 12 baskets full and said, do not waste or lose any of it. Gather it all. And he gave 12 baskets, one basket to each of them. Full. Why? For the next crowd. Simple as that. It never stops. It never stops. What's got to stop is me getting so busy that I lose focus and lose the fire in my belly and the fire in my heart for the things of God. Not just the spiritual things, but the physical things. And one of the greatest dilemmas church folk have got usually is people. I'll give you something, but don't tell them. People. I love on you, but don't tell her. People. But ministry is more than just laying hands on the sick. Ministry is more than just casting out devils. Ministry is more than what you and I could even think or imagine. And when you think you haven't got any more to give, he'll give you more in your hand to give. And if I do it by the Spirit of God and get into the presence of the Lord, he will deal with the tiredness of life. He will refresh me in his presence. Amen. I must have times of coming aside with him. I must have times of remembering my ministry is not just church folk, but it starts in my home. I must remember it's not all just spiritual, but it's also giving of myself when I don't feel sometimes I've got it to give. He will equip me for it. And he will give me the strength to do it. Amen. Next one, please. I think that's it, actually. But you've got to remember, and I've got to remember this, that when he calls you, and everyone that is born again has been called, you have a ministry. It might not be here, but it's just as important as here. If you're doing it well in your home, you're revealing the Christ in your house, a light, a salt to the earth, that the world can behold and see that he is good. Amen. Don't get so consumed in, Jesus actually said this, don't get so consumed in that the devils are even subject to you. Be more thankful that your name is written in the book of life. In other words, don't get so focused upon the giftings of God. Get focused on what he's done on the cross. Amen. Thanking him, praising him, remembering him, giving glory to him every day of our life. Hallelujah. Are you with me? What has he given in your hands? To supply need. I want to say something that as a body of believers, we're good at the spiritual side. But I want to share something that really did break my heart. Last year, I could not send a Christmas present to our orphanage kids because there was a lack in this house. I could not give to families in real need. I had to half it because there was not enough substance in the house to give. This brother said to me the other week, doesn't come to this church. He says, David, would you like to own your building? I said, well, I'd rather feed the sick, feed the poor. I'd rather minister to the sick. I mean, if the rent was so exorbitant that, yeah, we'll buy the building. But if it was so cheap, that we could afford just to rent, I'd rather minister to those in need. And I know it sounds weird, but may I say this? When you and I have gone to glory, this is nothing. This is squat. When I get to glory and he talks to me, I'd hate to be one that would stand there in front of him and says, why do you have a $10 million building? And you've only got the poor that has not been fed yet, the sick that haven't been ministered to. We need to change. We need to have a shift and get back onto the master's business. That is my priority. These trimmings are good, and I enjoy them, but they are not my focus. My focus is people. My focus is ministering to people. So I think as a church, we've been good at the spiritual, thinking that the natural would just automatically happen. Well, it doesn't. And it was just last time I remembered this with where not being able to bless them kids that we've supported for 20 years. Kids going in, kids going out, kids starting businesses, kids being blessed, but still some still orphans. And the little ones. The year before we could bless them. Give them out of our abundance. But last year we couldn't. You say, try and explain that to a six-year-old kid. Oh, you're not getting anything this year because we just don't have the finance to give it to you. I'm not trying to be hard here. In fact, I'm trying to be a bit of a dad here. It's time for us to be givers. It's time for us to seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's time to put others before ourselves. It's time to give that $5 that I was going to buy. Do you know, me and my son every day go for a coffee. Every day. He will not let it pass me. He will ask me the night before what time we're leaving. He will get up an hour early. He's up an hour early anyway. He will be ready and he will come into my room and he will tell me, I've got 10 minutes to get ready. He knows exactly the time he needs to go for a coffee. Exactly. Is that right, love? In fact, my wife will bug me because he's on her case about going for his coffee, his fix. He's a drug addict. His fix. His fix. But you know, as a steward of what I have got, I make sure I've got a coffee club membership because I get 2-for-1. Otherwise, I'm giving them $600 a year for coffee. That $600 a year goes to missions. I know it sounds stupid and little, but you add it up. You add it up. Hallelujah. I believe we are a generous church. Who believes that this morning? Who believes in generosity in the kingdom of God? We should have a generous spirit. A generous spirit. And as we give generously, God rewards me openly. I'm not preaching here, give me 10 and I'll give you 100 back. My God, that's not my God. Away with that filthy, stinking doctrine. That is not God. If you give your 10, He might give you peace. If you give your 20, He might give you a bit more joy. That's it, son. Keep saying it. If you give your 50, He might open a door for some business idea. It says, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Who believes that? And also says this, He gives me the power to get wealth. He believes that. That word power means divine connection. It does not mean He's going to give you a formula to beat the stock exchange. He's not going to give you the next tip that will make you millions on the ASX. It doesn't mean that. It means that He will give you divine connections to meet your need and meet what He wants to do through you. Amen? That you will meet someone that you would not normally meet. And He will give you the connection to do what He wants you to do for your life. Amen? So the next time missions comes around, we're not asking for your money. Really. I'm asking for your heart. I'm asking you to think of those kids that have not. I'm asking you to see the kids when they're on the rubbish tip, waiting for the next truck. And there's fights from the food, for the food that's been placed in the bin. When they're hunting through the slime and the sludge and the acid. I mean, it's their acid baths. Looking for a runner bean. A bean. Eating it before anyone else could grab it off them. Give generously. And I'll finish with this. It's not the amount that you're giving. It's equal sacrifice. Not equal amount. Equal sacrifice. Amen. What has He given in your hand? There's all these hungry mouths waiting. Let's stand this morning. No. I just give my wife a kiss. She goes, what, do you feel guilty? I said, no. No, I don't feel guilty. God's given you something in your hands. God's given something in me in my hands. The fivefold ministry is to equip the church for the ministry of the gospel. You are ministers, every one of you. Ministers as a mum, ministers as a dad, ministers as a single person. You're all ministers. Our God has entrusted you with something. And if you're a mum and dad, He's entrusted you with a life. A life. A gift. He's entrusted you with a life. A life that He wants you to reflect Him toward. Amen. Glory to God. He's given you sustenance. to be a giver. Hallelujah. He wants me to be part of the solution. He does not expect me to sit down with the 5,000 and say, give me, give me, give me. He wants you to be a giver. He wants me to reflect Him. For God so loved the world, He gave. He didn't hold back. He gave everything. Every eye closed this morning, every head bowed. What's He placed in your hands? That He can bless. Hear me, when He blesses it, it will quench the thirst and the hunger. What He blesses will quench the thirst and the hunger of the soul that's in need. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah cried out this. He cried this out. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? The Lord says. Isaiah, knowing his weakness, saying, man, I'm a man of unclean lips. I know how he feels. That's what I was like this morning. I'm a man of unclean lips. But here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am. Lord, I'm not complete. Lord, I'm full of faults. Lord, I've got inadequacies and I've got problems and I've got faults. But here I am. Send me. And He did. And it delivered a nation. All He wants is my availability. Doesn't ask me to qualify with a degree. Doesn't ask me to be able to recite the Greek and the Hebrew. Doesn't ask me to fulfill any criteria except one. Willingness. If you're willing this morning, you'll raise your hands before Him and say, God, here I am. Use me. Help me to start it in my home. Help me to be the answer to the problem and not the problem. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Father, you hear the cry of our hearts this morning. Lord, we come to you, faults and all. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us to be that instrument in your hand. See a reaping of your harvest in this day. To be the answer to the problem and not the problem. Help me to speak what you want me to speak. Help my words, Father, to be full of life. Help me to be the man of my house. Help my wife to be the wife of the house. That we can train our children up in the ways of the Lord. I thank you, Father, that you've given us a wonderful gift and blessings in our children and our children's children. I thank you. Help me to raise them in your ways. Help me to be that lamp and that salt to this earth. Use me in this hour. Keep me. Keep me, Father. I surrender to you afresh. In Jesus' name. If that's you this morning, shout amen. 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 What's that? She's telling me to be quiet now.
No, I didn't.
Amen. 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 You may be seated. we're going to have our AGM. So I'm going to invite Lee up